This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. After a week in which there was sad news from Plough Lane, Mark Robinson had been with AFC Wimbledon in various coaching roles since 2004. His year and a month reign as manager came to an end after a 19th league game without a win and a fifth consecutive defeat. The club are currently a point from safety in the Sky Bet League One relegation zone. On this week's episode, we'll discuss the return of the Sky Bet Championship after the international break with a man who knows all about the highs and lows of management. He's got previous winning promotion to the Premier League, but he's currently bidding to avoid leaving the EFL at the opposite end for a second successive season.
It's all about belief, and that's the challenge at the moment, Claire.
And we'll preview this season's Papa John's Trophy final by getting both managers together. Have your paths crossed before?
I don't think it has, Paul, has it?
No, I would remember your handsome face if we'd met in public. I'm all about your hairstyle and that. A new friend.
It's the official EFL podcast. Believe it or not, it is now 14 seasons since Phil Brown became the first manager to lead Hull City into the top flight in their 104-year history. Winning the Sky Bet Championship Player Final back in 2008. His attention now, though, is trying to keep Barrow in the Football League, having taken over until the end of the season in the build-up to their defeat at Leyton Orient last weekend. And I don't know, Phil, whether to praise your bounce-back ability or whether to tut at you, putting yourself in this situation once again. Which one do you think I should do?
Bounce back ability has to be, surely.
Yeah. Well, you've got this defatigable energy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was looking to see if there were any similarities with taking over Southend last season, but I guess you've been dealt a better hand because you were up against it from the word go last year, weren't you?
I think so. I think... If you look at the stats, Clem, we were already in the bottom two, needing snookers by everybody's calculations. And with six games to go, I remember the first game, I was only in there 24 hours, I think, before my first game, and it was a rude awakening. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Exeter, but I might be mistaken there. Anyway, we managed to get a 0-0 draw in my first game, and then... managed to get three draws, two wins and a defeat. And it was the defeat at Colchester that took us down, ultimately. And then you get tarred with that brush, unfortunately. I was at Orient on Saturday and there were the chance of Phil Brown's going to take you down and all this kind of stuff. So you do get tarred with that brush, regardless of what you think. You know, you're only six games in charge, but everybody thinks you took the club down and it had nothing to do with the previous incumbents. So... that's life in the footballing world. I get on with it. You know, I accept the challenge ahead. I am now Barrow manager. I'm fingers crossed I'm going to get this Barrow crowd behind us. And people talk about Barrow in furnace. We need to make it a furnace. You know, we need to make it a hostile, hot place to come to and try and send them home with nothing between their legs, as it were.
Yeah, I was saying before we started recording this that, yeah, with your long hair and your beard, you had a touch of the Irish poet about you there. But when you suddenly pulled that beautiful furnace analogy out, oh, don't you love it when a plan comes together? Phil, do you care what people think? Is your approbation in the fact that Barrow do come knocking on your door and see you as the man to make sure that they stay in the Football League?
Clem, it's a nice story. It's one of... I first started really with Sam Allardyce as a coach at Blackpool and then quickly climbed the ladder to Bolton Wanderers with Colin Todd and went into the Premier League and Championship and always been up there. You know, Sam came back to Bolton and we had great times, absolutely fantastic times. But we had a guy in the background called Jack Chapman who... unfortunately passed away. Jack was a great chief scout. He was one of the long-serving chief scouts and worked for Sam and myself. And then one of his apprentices, and I'm being flippant with my tongue there because Bob's now, my word, he'd be knocking close to his 70s now. But Bob Shaw became my chief scout at Derby County and he helped me at Hull City. And he's a great recruitment officer. But the one thing Bob used to say, whenever you go to a game of football, work the lounges, You know, get in the, you know, get in the coaches' rooms, get in the players' lounges, get in the scouts' lounges. Make sure you meet people and see people and greet people and let them know you're there. Work the car park attendance. And he said, you'll never know where it takes you. And I always wondered, what does he mean by that? And lo and behold, I'm Southend manager last year, and I drove 6.5 hours to see Barrow play Exeter on a Tuesday night. And I was greeted by an empty stadium, obviously, it was the pandemic, but I was greeted by a man who, come on, you've travelled 6.5 hours upstairs, I'll get you a brew and et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know it was the chairman. I had no idea. I thought it was, you know, he was making us a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and a sandwich, and I thought it was just the polite people of Barrow. So lo and behold, we had a brief conversation or a lengthy conversation leading up to the game, and I went away and we came back and played Barrow and beat them. So obviously the homework had been done, the groundwork had been done, but I'd met the chairman and I didn't know I had met the chairman. And
wow.
He said, one day maybe you'll come back and manage this club. That's that kind of story that you think, Bob Shaw told me to work a lounge or get to meet people or find out about the club, you know, scratch and sniff as it were. And then once you're there, who knows where it takes you? You know, you get a reputation around the game, et cetera, et cetera. And it's got me in work again. So, I mean, it's a lovely story, but it's an absolute true story as well.
Now, listen, I was going to ask you what the Phil Brown rescue remedy is for a club like Barrow. And then I caught a glimpse of an article that said that you wanted to make the home games a proper fortress. And then I looked at those home games, Philip. Portville, Forest Green Rovers, Sutton United, Northampton Town.
Marvellous, isn't it? Absolutely marvellous. Fully deserve to be up there because of the season that they've had so far. I don't think Barrow have won a home game since December. That in itself tells you that therein lies the problem. You know, if we had half-decent home form, we would be middle of the table. However, you know, they've won three games. I think we've only won three games at home. But we've drawn 9 of them, of the others. So it's not the end of the world. It's just learning how to get over the winning line. You know, 9 home draws, if you can have half of them as wins, you're middle of the table. But as we always talk about ifs, buts and maybes, that's why you're bottom of the league, that's why you're middle of the table, that's why you're top of the league. You know, it's about winning games. And I think the boys themselves have just lost that belief in, you know, the ability to win a game of football. I'm trying to give it back to them. We're trying, myself, Neil McDonald, on the training ground all week, last week, and it was coming and it lasted for 50, 55 minutes against a very, very good Orient team. But Richie's gone in there, and again, he's done exactly the same. Draw, then 3 wins on the bounce. And it's not a case of who you're playing. It's the team in form. Anybody that plays Orient at the moment, you know you're in for a game. You know, you 3 wins on the bounce, and it doesn't matter who you're playing against. It's confidence. That's why these players are probably playing at that level. That's why I played at that level. It's belief in yourself and stringing a season or 2 seasons or 3 seasons together and then playing higher. But it's all about belief, and that's the challenge at the moment, Clem.
I mean, geographically, you could almost not get a more different area of England, could you? You know, you're going from the Essex coast to the Cumbria coast. I mean, are there very different characteristics? Do you have to adapt your style to being in a different geographical part of the country?
It's a great question, Clem, and it's a book down the line, guaranteed, you know. I always remember going to Hull as manager, and one of the things the Hull fans loved about me was the fact that I used to stand on the terraces at Sunderland. I'm one of them. I've been working class all my life and proud of it. But understanding the folk that stand on the terraces and knowing exactly what they want. You know, what do they want from a game of football? And everybody can say, yeah, we want to win the game of football. No, nowadays, you don't just want to win the game. You want to win the beautiful way. You know, you want to play perfect football. You want to play a style of football that Man City play or Liverpool play. Well, sometimes you can't afford to do that. And you have to find a way of entertaining without playing that beautiful way. But one thing you do, the further north you go. If you put a shift in, they'll give you everything. They will forgive you for mistakes. They will forgive you. They will let you off once or twice for making mistakes. Keep making the mistakes and you're out, of course. But if you're putting a shift in, if you're rolling your sleeves up and getting stuck into the game, stuck into the opposition, and leave nothing out there, then they'll forgive you and they'll accept results. But at the same time, I'll accept results if we do that as well, because I know it's a winning formula.
Listen, you very kindly agreed to chat us through the division that you know so well how to get out of. It goes without saying, we wish you luck in the fight for survival in your new role. And I'm looking at the championship, the Skybet Championship table, Phil. And I mean, it, Fulham and Bournemouth, it's theirs to lose, isn't it? They'd have to have a complete sort of implosion to chuck it away at this point.
Well, they're there to be shot at. The beauty of the two sides that you've mentioned there is goal scorers. You know, they've got, without a shadow of a doubt, they've got goals in that team. At the present moment in time, you could say they're in a little bit of an indifferent form. It's because Fulham went on an unbelievable run and pulled clear. They've bought, because of that unbelievable run, they've bought space, breathing space. But it's definitely theirs to throw away. Bournemouth, in terms of automatic promotion with games in hand and, you know, over Luton. I love the fact that Luton, Nathan Jones was on the diploma course with me last year. Yeah. We had a great group with us, by the way. Nathan Jones had obviously, you know, we were talking about a home for managers, a fit for managers. Luton's a fit for Jones, no doubt about it. You know, he took a wander up to Stoke and it didn't work for him. That doesn't make you a bad manager. You know, it's just, you've got to make it fit. You've got to, and obviously Luton's one of them. And then you're looking further down in the chasing pack, and there's such an extensive group of teams that probably had budgets that should be there. Teams that, you know, have been big and bold in the past and got in the Premier League that should be there. But again, only six places to play for. And I tell you what, it's brilliant. But Fulham and Bournemouth, without a shadow of a doubt, it's theirs for a throwaway. But I wouldn't give up on upsetting that second place. I would expect Fulham to go up, but I wouldn't give up on upsetting that. I'd keep it exciting for sure with nearly, what, 8, 9, 10 games to go?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you've outlined, obviously, Luton, who are just the upstarts of the season for me in their eighth season back in the Football League. But actually, I did the maths down the table. From third to 12th, 9 points separate. Really? And then, Phil, aside from this weekend, you start going through the fixtures and seeing that in the midweeks next week, Sheffield United play QPR, looking a bit further down. A couple of weeks on Monday, Huddersfield play Luton. Luton have to play Forest. Huddersfield, yeah. QPR, Borough against Huddersfield. Bournemouth and Fulham, by the way, still have to play each other. I mean, take me in the position those clubs are in. Of all of those clubs from third down to halfway point, who would you want to be and who wouldn't you want to be?
It's a strange one. You know, it depends on the mentality of your group, and only a manager can answer this question. Are you the type of group that wants to be shot at and therefore they're up there on merits and they don't mind being shot at? Or are you the ones that want to be shooting? You know, are you aiming for somebody? And when I can only take it back to my experiences at Bolton Wanderers, experiences at Hull City. You know, we've had promotions on two or three occasions out the Championship in various ways. You know, Bolton Wanderers under Colin Todd and myself, we flew right the way through the season, won the title with 99 points. So we're up there all season being shot at, and we had that type of group. You know, I remember the Nathan Blakes and Jerry Taggarts of this world. You know, we had a great group. So it all depends on the manager understanding his group. At Hull, we crept in, you know, into the playoffs and then had an opportunity last day of the season to get the automatics and then missed out on that and settled for the playoffs and then went through the playoffs. And it's a great way of doing it as well. So it all depends on that mentality. Only the managers will know that. Only the managers that have been in place all season are probably from that point where you've mentioned top 10. Them managers will be in place because of the consistency of their group. Who would I want to be? I'd want to be in there now with 8 games to go. I'd want to be in there trying to say to your group, you're pitching in for a 1 or 2. You know, so if you are 3, 4, 5 or 6, I'd be one of them that's saying, we can still catch Bournemouth. We can still catch Fulham. And you're motivating your group that way. But if you're Middlesbrough, QPR, Forest, Millwall, you're aiming for maybe Blackburn. Maybe one of them falling out by the wayside, but it's so close. And like you say, how many 6-pointers? You've just mentioned 4 or 5 of them. the mouth-watering six-pointers that you can't keep your eyes off the league table.
Do you know what? There's something about momentum, isn't there? But it's timing that momentum as well, so you don't peak too early and then you've got nothing left in the tank. I mean, it just goes to underline as well what an incredible story it was with you and Hull, the fact that you did drift off. They could have seen their backsides in not getting the automatic promotion, but you were able to get them to regroup over the three games that you had to play and get them out the other side.
Well, at the start of the season, it was quite ironic. You know, we had a budget that was competitive, don't get me wrong, but no pressure on me as a manager. The new incumbent, the new owners were saying 3 years to get to the Premier League. Then all of a sudden, you go from a bad start to mid-table, then mid-table to just outside the playoffs. Then all of a sudden, they're now expecting you to get in the playoffs. Then all of a sudden, they're expecting you to get automatic. So it just evolves. It's the great thing about football. The season's got so many, you know, stories, and it's got so many subplots and you know things that you can talk about. That's what makes it great for you guys, you know, the media. You find them subplots and elaborate on them, and they just become romantic. It's just a great story for a lot of these teams. But I, you know, if you asked me to nail me colours to the mask, I really wouldn't give up on Luton as an automatic promotion position. Just judging on one of the games that I witnessed against Chelsea in the Cup, where I thought, wow, these are a team that have got no fear of one of the best teams in the world. They become world club champions. And Luton had no fear whatsoever. The home form is so important to them, but they're still winning games away from home. So I wouldn't give up on them automatically neither.
Brilliant. I've got to just say as well, we should just mention, of all the fixtures coming up as the Sky Bet Championship clubs return this weekend, I'd argue the game of the day is 22nd against 21st. Barnsley taking on Reading. I mean, that was a huge win for Paul Ince, getting past Blackburn to open that gap up to five. I mean, what do you do if you're Poyer Asbaghi, the Barnsley manager? Is that one in the closing stages you just have to go for to close that gap? Because from their point of view, God forbid Reading were to win that game, you're then opening up an 8-point gap and it becomes almost insurmountable, doesn't it, Phil?
It becomes, it's bottom three then, you know, and you want to keep the season alive as long as you possibly can. That is the ultimate 6-pointer, Barnsley against Reading. I mean, when Paul Ince went in at Reading, it was eyebrows raised. You know, I don't think he'd been involved for a long, long time. Same as Mark Hughes when he went into Bradford. I didn't realise that it was 4 years before, you know, the last time he was managing. So when Paul went in at Reading and got that first win, it was like, wow, here we go, rescue on. But then you look at the league table, that single game, that one game, that cup final that you're talking about could actually kill the hopes of Barnsley, Peterborough and Derby in one fell swoop. So big game, massive game, all eyes will be on it for sure.
Phil, your energy and enthusiasm brims out. It's lovely to have you back in the game. Is there anything other than joy of football that is keeping you young and vivacious at the moment? Anything that might have happened in the last couple of months in your personal life that has given you an extra spring in your step, Phil?
There's a young fella called Monty Brown. Monty Philip Brown. Jade done very well. Mum done a great job. 8 weeks ago, we gave birth, and for 7 of them 8 weeks, I was obviously co-parent. I was alongside her. I was doing everything, bottles, you name it. And then all of a sudden, in the last week, Barrow have rescued me.
You don't mean that, do you? You must be missing him.
No, absolutely. I went home at the weekend and it was Mother's Day and I did everything. I just said, listen, bath, bathe, you know, flowers, champagne, you name it. Cook the Sunday roast, et cetera, et cetera. And I had Monty in me arms for 24 hours. It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Yes, absolutely. I'm only joking where that's concerned, Clem. He's been a massive breath of fresh air and will be getting mentioned on numerous occasions in the Barrow changing room as reason to fight to survive and stay in the AFL too.
Phil, it's a joy talking to you. It's great to have you back again.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Clem.
Isn't it great to have him back? Let me just run you through these Gabbett Championship fixtures in pretty much full this coming weekend. Friday night, Hull entertain Huddersfield, currently fourth. Then Saturday, the early kickoff, Forest head to Blackpool. And then 3 o'clock, so there is that massive game between Barnsley and Reading. Bournemouth entertain Bristol City. Quite a few derby matches this weekend, of which Cardiff Swansea is one of them. Blackburn head to Coventry. It's Derby at home to Preston. Luton against Millwall sees third take on 10th. Luton 6 points clear of Millwall as things stand. We've got Peterborough against Middlesbrough. There's another Derby match, QPR against Fulham. And another one, a Midlands Derby as well on Sunday. That is Birmingham against West Brom. And then midweek, 8 Championship fixtures in full, including that Sheffield United QPR one.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
This Sunday, Wembley Stadium hosts the Papa John's Trophy final as Paul Warne's Rotherham United take on Matt Gray's Sutton United. And here on the official EFL podcast, we risk 15 minutes of dead air as both managers join us, but try and avoid giving away any state secrets. Matt, have your paths crossed before? You know what you're like, you managers getting together for seminars and baby kissing and things. Have you two met before?
I don't think it has, Paul, has it?
No. I would remember your handsome face if we'd met in public. I'm all about your hairstyle and that. So no, I don't think we've met. I don't think we've met on the side of the pitch. So no, it's a new one.
Right.
A new friend.
Here we are. I'm going to put you both right on the spot. Paul, what do you admire about Matt and his team?
Well, obviously, I've seen quite a bit of them recently. I went to watch them at Oldham last week, which killed me because they look very good. I like the fact that all the players know what they're doing. I like the fact that the defenders defend, the wide men attack. They've got pace out wide. I'm a big fan of that, as you well know. The centre forwards are prepared to drop in, and they cause you problems. And I don't mean this rudely because people say this about my team, but it's quite uncomplicated. They all know what they're doing. They're well oiled. They obviously had a really good promotion season last year, got team of the year in the conference. And they've continued really well in the league above. And in fairness, they're in a promotion push as well. So they just look a well-rounded group. And you know what I'm like, I'm not for big time footballers, and they just look a together group. So congratulations on that, because it ain't easy to do.
Matt, if you haven't done the same level of due diligence, you're in the doo-doo, because I'm asking the same question of you.
I feel very detailed there, Paul. Very impressed. We haven't had the chance.
We ain't had a game for weeks.
Exactly. And we've been playing every Tuesday as well. So we haven't had the opportunity to come and see you guys live. But yeah, obviously doing tremendously well in the league. You've been there many years and experienced manager at the level. Already won promotion from that league. So I'm sure they'll certainly be there or thereabouts. I don't want to tempt fate so you're going to be a Championship side just yet, because I know what that's like. Certainly there's many football to be played in the league yet. But again, a team very organised, fit, strong, got many threats, many ways to score a goal, and some very good individual players as well. So certainly a tough test coming up.
Yeah, I knew we'd either have no words or loads of effusive complimentary words, because nobody wants to remotely create the headline that goes on the opposition's dressing room wall. Matt, I've got to ask you, Matt, I mean, the pinch yourself moments just keep coming, don't they? You know, promotion in your second season as manager, Wembley in your third season.
Yeah, it's certainly been a whirlwind couple of years, and to hit the ground running in the Football League, and obviously our first ever year in the Football League, has been a great season for us, and we're still right in the mix, and it's extremely tight up at the top end of the League Two there. So we're still right in the mix to try and achieve another incredible dream of maybe even going back-to-back promotions would just be unbelievable. But it's a competition that I wanted to and have taken seriously from day one, for many reasons. Not only, you know, when you've been successful last year, you want to keep winning games, you want to win everything you enter. And it's another opportunity for us realistically to win a competition with the Wembley carrot, you know, with the final being played there. As well as all the change that's gone on at the football club in this last year, the finances have actually been really important to us as well. And the prize money's obviously certainly increased and improved, but every penny counts for us at the moment with what we've got to do with our stadium and the improvements we've got to make. So the prize money as well has come in very, very useful. So there's many reasons why not only the league was important, but this cup was too.
Listen, you guys at Rotherham, you do like a Wembley day out, do you not? If my memory serves me right, a couple of playoffs in the last decade down there?
Yeah, I think we've had three in the last decade.
Have possibly. You really?
Well, we lost one and then won two. We lost against Dagenham when I came back as a player under Ronnie Moore.
Yeah.
Sub not used. I don't like to talk about those bad days. Oh. And then Steve Evans, I don't know if anyone ever told you that Rev scored two in that game. And then Woody. So we've had, yeah, we've been blessed. And I think I'm really pleased that we've sold as many tickets as we had, because I wasn't sure how it would go, because as much as we try and say it, like playing at Wembley for the lads and for their families is beyond magical. It is something that many greater players than ours don't get the opportunity to do. So we don't, you know, never downplay it. I want the lads to go and fully enjoy it, whatever the outcome is. But because we've been there a few times through playoffs, I think some fans might think, oh, you know, it happens to us all the time. It doesn't. We could go another 100 years without going there. So I'm really pleased that many people are going, as it seems, and it should be a good day out. Both teams want to win. Obviously, we're not going for a draw, because that's a pointless thing to say. But we're both attacking teams, and I think it should be a good game.
Yeah. Are your guys in exactly the same boat, Matt? Yeah, and you're really embracing that. Go and have that run out, not just a run out, but go and have that game on the Wembley pitch, because as Paul says, there's a lot of players never get that opportunity.
No, exactly. I'm so pleased for, you know, the supporters, but more often than not, more importantly, the chairman has just been unbelievable since I've come in the door. And he's been a chairman 25 plus years, and he's obviously had the cup runs, he's had the promotions, but he's never, under his leadership, seen a Sutton team play at Wembley. So this is going to be a special day for him, as well as some of the other volunteers and on the board that work so tirelessly behind the scenes. So I'm really pleased with them, but as well as the staff and the players. I think we've only had three players who have played at Wembley previously. So yes, it's an exciting day. It's going to be a memorable day. But like all football managers will say, that the icing on the cake is certainly the prize of trying to win, and you don't want to go there and be the loser. So as Paul will be exactly the same, you know, both teams, both clubs will be desperate to win a trophy come the end of the game.
Are you nervous, you two?
I'm not at the moment. No, I'm okay. I think it's because you're so busy, Paul, isn't it? You've got everything going on. You don't actually have time to actually sit down and think about it. I think when all the preparation, the organisation, everything stops, it might hit me a little bit then. But no, at the moment, everything's all good.
I mean, I'm pretty. You know what I'm like? I'm normally nervous on a match day, but prior to it, it feels a bit surreal, if I'm honest, because we've just had the international break, so we haven't had a game for a few days. I've given the lads a few days off, so they come in. It's like the first day back at school. They're all talking about where you've been and all that. They only had 3 days off. It's not like they had 3 weeks off. But so it still seems a long way off, really, because since about late Jan, I think we've played Saturday, Tuesday constantly, and it's just game prep, game recovery, game prep, game recovery, as it is for Matt, obviously. So to have this week where we can train today, train tomorrow, have Thursday off, train Friday, train Saturday and go down, it seems quite relaxed at the moment. But I think the more press commitments we have and the more, you know, the excitement in the group, like I had an injury today, so it hasn't started the week great. I mean, I won't tell you who it is, Matt, but I've had an injury in one of my big players, so that's not great, but I'm hoping I get good results later in the day. But that's what's going to happen. So I think the nerves will kick in later in the week and, you know, hopefully I'll get to walk the team out this time. I didn't last time, but it will still be a great honour. And I think the nerves will kick in massively come match day. For me, anyway, I get nervous. It's, I don't dispute that.
Yeah. Is there a bit of razzmatazz around it? I mean, are either of you going to do the Wembley suits bit and add that extra dimension, or are you going pretty cash on this? This is leading up, obviously, Warnie, to making sure you don't wear that darn bobble hat at Wembley with a Wembley suit as you walk out.
No, I won't do that. I won't wear a Wembley suit either. It will be an unnecessary cost. We're not the biggest club either. So I agree that the wins have, you know, helped the coffers, but we don't do Wembley suits and that. I think last time we went in shorts and flip-flops, which is a bit over-relaxed. But I want the lads to feel relaxed when they get off the bus. And there won't be a bobble hat. I mean, it was lucky we've had 2 days of decent sun in Norfolk, so I've got a bit of pre-tan. So I can afford to put my head out there with that hat on. So I'm looking forward to it.
And at Sutton, I mean, you know, around the ground and things around Gander Green Lane, are sort of bakeries doing icing in the club colours on their cakes and all that stuff, Matt?
Yeah, I believe we've been training this morning, and obviously I'm just sitting in the office now doing this, and then I'm going to go down to the high street, and I believe there's some shops have been made up for the rest of the season, really, in Sutton, you know, the club shop and different things. So I'm sure I'll go down there, and the Papa John's bus is there, which I believe is coming to you tomorrow, Paul, I think, is it?
I haven't been told that.
I was told he's coming up, but anyway, we got the Papa John's bus tour there. They were going
with full of pizzas or without pizzas.
I'm not too sure, to be honest, Paul. I'll soon go and find out,
because it's a lot more popular with pizzas, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah. Well, the players are going down at the soap face, so hopefully without pizzas.
Oh no, they go down there and they're all knuckle deep, and when you turn up,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Well, if it's coming to Matt first of all, Paul, it's a good thing. Maybe his lads will eat all the pizza, and then yours won't be so laden down come kick off on Sunday.
Possibly. Hopefully, then, if that's the case.
I got to ask you. I mean, listen, by the high standards you've both set this season, one win in five for both of you. I mean, Paul, can you set aside everything that's going on in the league, or is part of you going, oh, blimey, Wigan will play, they could go above us, MK Dons will have another game, have two games before we play again. Is a little part of your head on the league and can't fully concentrate on this?
No, not really. I mean, I know I can't stop what other teams are going to do. And don't get me wrong, I will obviously look at the Wigan result. I'll be watching try and watch the Charlton game on the way down. They're our next league game. So we were going to try and get to that game. So we can't affect that. I just think that, look, we do everything the same all season. So people are like, oh, what's happened? Because we've been so good. And we haven't been as good recently, but we've done the same prep and everything. So I just think this weekend we can enjoy it for what it is. It's a one-off game where obviously we want to win. Every game we go into, be it a pre-season game or a five-a-side amongst ourselves, we want to win. So we'll go into it wanting to win. But, you know, the league will look after itself. We've got seven games when we come out of this, a difficult run in like loads of other good teams, and hopefully we'll have enough. But this weekend it's just about, you know, the lads enjoying it for what it is and giving a good show of themselves, really. That's all I want.
Yeah. If my maths is correct, would you have taken a run of 9 wins in 14? Would that have been good at this point in the season?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But considering we were probably 8 out of 9, I wouldn't have took it then.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's all right.
That's the point I'm making, isn't it? One win out of 5, like, but it follows 8 out of 9. But if I'd offered you that 14 games back and said you're going to win your next 9, I'm struggling with my maths now to hold these stats together, you'd probably have taken it.
Yeah. And in fairness, I sound like I've got millionaire problems. We're 4 points clear of a third with 7 games to go. I would have 100% taken that, considering, as you know, the enormous teams in this league. So the lads are, you know, possibly overachieving. I don't know. We'll see at the end of the season. But yeah, they'll take it. And we're not, we're in good shape, really, for the running now. Well, apart from today's incident, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, he's just managed to button that, Matt, and keep it under control. Do you think Wembley looming has in any way created a bit of a distraction on those league games, Matt, for you guys?
No, I don't think it has. I just think, we just probably my 3 years in management, I just, after the Wigan game, we just seemed to pick up just a few niggly injuries, and it's probably the lightest I've been since I've been a manager in recent games. They're all sort of getting back fit now, and obviously with Wembley looming, they're going to be fit, aren't they? So we just had a little run of games where we're a little bit light with bodies and light with key players. But I certainly don't feel that was the results have been any reason because of Wembley coming up. It's just, even the games we've been involved in, the Walsalls and Swindon, have been very tight games and probably deserved at least, probably a point in both of those. Could have easily beaten Tranmere at home and Drew. So, yeah, it's been thin dividing lines in recent games, but just need those few extra bodies back, which I'm sure we will have.
I mean, Paul will know from a sort of how I think like a football manager episode we did of the official EFL podcast earlier in the season. I love to sort of get under the skin of the role. I'll start with you, Paul. How do you feel physically and mentally at this point in a football season? Are you absolutely knackered?
Prior to this weekend, I was absolutely shattered. And it's difficult because you have to be buzzy around the place. Buzzy isn't a very good word, is it? But buzzing around the place, smiley, like everyone looks at you for energy, and that's how I want to lead. But I was exhausted. I would often be found laying on my floor in my office. So, yeah, we are exhausted, really. But we have been fortunate that the international break has been able to give us a bit of time off and has been able to recharge us mentally and physically. But and that's why if you do get a promotion, as Matt has obviously last year, and he's got a good chance again this year, it's such an achievement because it's so long. So I think this might be, I don't know, by the end of the season, we might have played in 55, nearly 60 games, which is a massive toll. And hence why in recent weeks I've had to maybe not rest, but rotate a couple, because I could just see they were jaded and they were on the edge of injury. And that's probably why our results are dipped. But now coming into this final and with seven league games to go, is sort of the risks worth taking now, really. But I think the lads were jaded, definitely. And especially the way we play, we're like full energy, full press, full something out. It probably took even greater toll. So, yeah, the rest has come at a good time for us. And hopefully we can get back to our best with the 8 games left.
Do you think, Matt, we don't give enough credit generally in society for consistency, for showing up, which is what you guys as football managers and players have to do over an extraordinary amount of time with no room to breathe at all?
And it certainly gets tough, like Paul's saying there, in the latter stages of the season, and when the games sort of come thick and fast, and you're trying to keep the levels up that you've maintained all season, and you're trying to keep pushing to make sure you, especially when you're in the mix to try and achieve something, is to try and stay in there and just keep churning the results out, most importantly, let alone the performances secondary, really. But just trying to keep those points on the board and just keep ticking along and keep yourselves in the mix and counting down the games, really, to give yourselves the best chance to for obviously both of us to try and get promoted. And I feel it's... yeah, to answer your question originally was, I certainly do feel exhausted, to be honest. But in a weird way, you're still running on the adrenaline and the buzz of obviously the cup run and Wembley, and as well as in the mix of trying to go back to pack promotion. So that's the drive and the drug, really, that keeps you going and fuel to try and see it through in coming up to this last month, because we only had a 4-week turnaround in the summer. So much change going on at the club, and we're a million miles behind a lot of league clubs, really, off the pitch. So not only am I sort of managing the club day to day, I'm trying to build one as well. So, you know, constantly looking for staff improvements. We still haven't got a training ground sorted yet. So we're really trying to make improvements and trying to catch up with everyone, as well as then trying to play on a Saturday and a Tuesday as well. So it's been a tough year, and I'm certainly looking forward to that holiday as well.
Yeah. And everybody looks to the manager to be the figurehead, of course. I can't ask you, actually, Matt. Will the boys come straight from home, or are you going to put them in a hotel? I mean, with it being London, traditionally, there might be that camaraderie of the hotel and the trip on the bus to Wembley. How are you going to play it this weekend? What are you going to do?
Yeah, we're trying to keep everything as normal as possible. The only change is, I think if we were playing a London team on the day, we wouldn't go overnight. But just being a cup final and... on TV and everything, excusing the or losing the embarrassment of maybe potentially turning up late in Wembley traffic and whatever else, that we are going to obviously stay over in a hotel very close to the ground. So we'll take all that risk out of it. We were training normally on the Saturday morning and then heading over to Wembley on the Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I was just intrigued as to whether you might have some of the boys literally setting off a load of washing, putting it on the drying rack in the spare bedroom, then getting in their car, meeting up with the bus and going off to Wembley Stadium. You'll be doing the full bifter, will you, Paul? Coming down 3 days before Wembley visit and stuff, the day.
Yeah, you know how we how we are at Rotherham. We'll fly down. Obviously got chauffeurs picking us up at the private airport, taking us across. Yeah. I mean, we'll train Saturday. We'll poodle down on our bus as we would for any other game. I know it's a special day, but I don't want the lads to feel any different. So we'll stay half an hour away from Wembley. I doubt there'll be a lot of traffic on Sunday, hopefully not, and just do our usual routine, really. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Listen, this has been brilliant. It's been so fantastic that we managed to get you two together. Final sort of words from either of you to the other. Who'd like to go first? It's your turn to go first, Matt.
Oh, I had my hand up and everything.
Oh, okay. Want to go first?
No, I'm joking. No, that's all right. I'm joking.
No, obviously looking forward to meeting Paul face to face on Sunday. And I wish them all the best for the rest of the season. Just not apart from that little window on Sunday afternoon.
Perfectly done. Paul, final word to you. It won't be a word, will it? It'll be a few words.
Sorry. I'd like to reiterate the kind words. I'm looking forward to meeting Matt and Jason and congratulating you really on how well you've done. I know how hard football management is. But also, I'm not a bad loser. So if your team deserve to beat us on Sunday, congratulations. It is some achievement. Beating Wigan in the last round and getting through all them rounds when you have injuries and the weather's pitches are gone and you've got league games. And it is some achievement to get to a final. So without sounding ridiculously cheesy, I think we're winners anyway. You know, if you weren't playing us, I'd hope you win, but you are. So the same with you. Good luck for your league games. But I look forward to meeting you on Sunday and let the game and hopefully both sets of players get through it healthy. Everyone enjoys it for what it is. And like at the moment, everything else going on in the world, I think everyone can look forward to a cup final and have a cracking day.
Good luck to you both. Thanks for joining us, both of you, on the Official EFL podcast.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thanks.
Wasn't that great? I sincerely hope the two of them don't fall out in the technical errors and have to be held apart on the day itself. Let's just take you through the Sky Bet League One fixtures this coming weekend. Wigan could indeed go top if they beat Bolton in the early kickoff. Ipswich are currently 5 points off the playoffs at home to Cambridge. MK Dons in third entertain Shrewsbury. Game of the day, fourth v fifth, that's Plymouth. Their six-match winning streak ended by Ipswich last weekend. They entertain Oxford United. Sheffield in sixth, they're at home to Wimbledon. 2 points behind Sheffield in seventh, a Sunderland. They're at home to Gillingham, and Wickham entertain Doncaster. There's a sizable programme midweek on Tuesday night as well. And in fact, if MK Dons were to beat Shrewsbury, they would then play Crewe and they could go into one of those automatic places as well as Wigan if Wigan were to win one of their games as well. So Rotherham, by the time they pick up again, could find themselves in the playoff places. I waited until Paul Warne had gone to really reaffirm that. Into Skybet League 2. Phil Brown's Barrow at home to fourth place Port Vale. Bristol Rovers in sixth entertain Bradford. We've got top v bottom. That's Forest Green entertaining Scunthorpe. Colchester travel to Harrogate. Must play a tribute to Colchester. We heard from Robbie Cowling there, chairman, a couple of weeks ago. £67,000 raised for Ukraine humanitarian aid. The gate receipts from their match against Forest Green 10 days ago. Several of the promotion contenders go head-to-head. Mansfield entertain Northampton and Newport entertain in Exeter. Swindon head off to Rochdale. It's a big game at the bottom of the table, as well as 22nd play, 23rd. Stevenage are 3 points clear of Oldham as things stand. And then Tranmere are at home to Carlisle. There's a couple of games on Tuesday night as well. And one of them is Forest Green Rovers against Mansfield Town. That's it for this episode. A big thank you to Matt Gray, Paul Warne and Phil Brown. If you've enjoyed it, then please to give us a 5-star rating. Press the subscribe button and share in your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name's Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
the Official EFL Podcast.